The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, chapter number 3, text number 10, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on January 24th, 2011, in Los Angeles, California, USA.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, chapter 3, Yamaraj instructs his messengers. Text number 10. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo
Tan te veditum
ichchama
yadi na manyase shamam narayana iti abhihite ma bhai iti ayayu drutam Tangs te veditum ichchamo yadi no manyase chamam narayane yabhihite ma bharit yayur drutam tangs te veditum ichchamo Yadi no manyase chamam Narayanet yabhihite Ma bharit yayur drutam Tan about them Te from you Veditum to know It's chama. We wish. Yadi. If. Na. For us. Manyase. You think. Chamam. Suitable. Narayana. Narayan. Iti. Thus. Abhiyate. Being uttered. Ma, do not, bhai, fear, iti, thus, ayayu, they arrived, drutam, very soon. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. As soon as the sinful Ajamil uttered the name Narayan, these four beautiful men immediately arrived and reassured him, saying, Do not fear, do not fear. We wish to know about them from your lordship. If you think we are able to understand them, kindly describe who they are. Purport. The order carriers of Yamaraj, being very much aggrieved because of their defeat by the four Vishnudutas, wanted to bring them before Yamaraj and, if possible, punish them. Otherwise, they desired to commit suicide. Before pursuing either course, however, they wanted to know about the Vishnudutas from Yamaraj, who is also omniscient. Shri Guru Shri Jata Bhata Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagra Jata Sargana Raghunathan Vitantam Sajiva Sadaitam Lavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. So, what to do when you're bewildered? Yamadutas approach their master, Yamaraj. So, this is the way. When we are bewildered, we approach our spiritual master. And by his grace, we are blessed with transcendental knowledge. Divya Gyan. Our position in this material world is we are very bewildered, actually. We are very, very bewildered situation. We're being dragged by the cruel laws of material nature through birth, death, old age, and disease, again and again and again, punak, 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 punak. For millions and millions of lifetimes, we cannot count how many millions of lifetimes we've been dragged through this suffering condition, with no hope of ever being released, actually, except by the mercy of the pure devotee. Brahmanda Brahmite Konya Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadepai Bhakti Lata Beach. When one living entity, after having wandered through millions of species of life and millions of lifetimes, is very fortunate, Konna Bhagyavan Jeev, when one living entity is very, very, very fortunate, then by the grace of the spiritual master, the bona fide spiritual master, he received that seed of bhakti, bhakti-lata bij, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. He gets that wonderful seed of bhakti within his heart. So, what do you do with the seed? If you're a gardener, you know, you can't just put the seed in the ground and expect to get a fruit. You have to water that seed. You have to weed that garden, isn't it? Can you just throw a seed in the ground? Your chances of getting a fruit are not very good if you just throw the seed in the ground. But if you put that seed in the ground and you regularly water it, you weed the garden, you take very good care of that garden, you see, then you can get that fruit. You see. So that watering process, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That weeding process, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling. And then Prabhupada adds one more item. You need to build a very, very strong fence around that garden. Why? Because there's mad elephants roaming in the neighborhood. Hatti Matta. If they happen to come into your garden, one step of that big elephant foot, wham, your creeper's finished. You see? So you got to have a really, really good fence. Super duper fence. And that fence, that is protect from Hati Mata Aparad, Vaishnava Aparad. So some devotee said, well, I know how I will not offend any devotees. I'm just going to go live in the mountains. I got my problem solved. I'll never offend any Vaishnava. I'm just going to go live in the mountains. Well, that's offending Prabhupada because he said we should live with devotees. So that doesn't work. We have to live with devotees. And we have to live with the devotees in such a way that we don't offend the devotees. So how do you do that? Well, we have to be proactive. We have to, because what does Krishna say? As I was explaining last night, Ye me bhakta jana partha, na me bhakta shtate janaha. Mad bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. If you're my devotee, na me bhaktas, you're not my devotee. But if you are the devotee of my devotee, then you are my devotee. Adi Purana. So, if I'm not going to defend the devotees, what does that mean? That means I have to become the devotee of the devotee. Then I will not be an offender. Therefore, vanchakapadrubhyascha kripasindubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama. I bow down at your feet. You're my worshipable Prabhu. In this way, of course, it's not always easy. We can say these things, but you know, due to the nature, it's not always easy. Sometimes we have clashes, or in Sanskrit, kleshas, is it? In our association, there's klesha or clashes going on. It's not always an easy thing. But if we can learn how to always appreciate, even if I have some disagreement with you, we don't always get along well together. Sometimes we don't get along at all, but if I can always appreciate the saintly qualities that I've seen in you, you see, we should always cultivate the kind of vision of the devotees. And every devotee, we should see some wonderful quality that we can appreciate in that devotee. Every devotee, we should find something good quality we can appreciate. Because what you meditate on is what you become. You see? If you're always thinking of the faults of the devotees, then what are you going to be manifesting, Prabhu? Faults. But if you're always seeing the good qualities of the devotees, now I'm not saying you should be naive and think everyone is a Paramahamsa. I'm not saying that. But you should see in every, even a neophyte devotee who has so many faults, he has wonderful qualities. That's why he's come to Krishna consciousness. So we should see those wonderful qualities in the devotees. And if you're always appreciating the wonderful qualities of the devotees, then guess what's going to come out of your heart? Those wonderful qualities will come out of your heart. So the more you can appreciate the other devotees, the more you become appreciable by the devotees. And when you become appreciable by the devotees, what do you become? Appreciable by Krishna. Krishna Priya means appreciable by Krishna. And when you become appreciable by Krishna, your life becomes perfect. So there's a real advantage in learning how to appreciate devotees. It's a real advantage in doing that. I mean, you really, if you want to get some perks out of your devotional life, just learn how to appreciate Vaishnavas. And I guarantee you, Krishna is going to flood you with unlimited perks. So these Yamadutas, they were really bewildered. I mean, they were so bewildered, they were going to commit suicide. They felt so bad that we didn't execute our duty, they were prepared to kill themselves, you see. Even though they're rather low-class fellows, you could say, but we can appreciate their dedication to Yamaraj. They're willing to kill themselves because they didn't carry out their duty. Just see how dedicated they were. Just see, we can, even the Yamadutas, we can appreciate that sense of duty that they have. You see? I mean, they're not the kind of people you like to sit around and take prasadam with necessarily, but you know what I mean? But you can really appreciate how dedicated they were to Yamaraj. So even the Yamadutas, we can appreciate the good qualities of the Yamadutas, you see. Of course, Prabhupada gives that famous quote, you know, he said, everyone has a combination of good and bad qualities. A Vaishnava is one who is like the honeybee, who can see the good quality, you see. The non-devotee is the fly looking for the sower, you see. So we can analyze how much of a devotee, each one of us can do our own self-psychoanalysis and see how much of a devotee I am. When I think of the other devotees, do I think of their good qualities or I think of their bad qualities? What am I more interested in thinking about? Am I interested to nitpick the devotees? Within my mind, yeah, he's got this bad quality, that quality, this, that, this, that, this, that. Or I want to see the good of that devotee. You see, we can analyze our own heart, how Krishna conscious we are. How much we're appreciating devotees, genuinely within our hearts, that's how much we're Krishna conscious. And how much we're thinking, that bum. Is it? That means we're on the Kanishta platform. Still on the Kanishta platform. So we are meant to remain on the Kanishta platform. We are meant to come to Maja platform, and from there we are meant to go to Uttam platform. Prabhupada wants us to become completely pure Vaishnavas. Prabhupada ordered me, one letter he said, now you just become qualified to see Krishna face to face. Another letter he told me, because I used to write him so many questions. Actually, when I joined ISKCON, it was a very nice era of ISKCON where any devotee could write Prabhupada a letter. That was standard when I first joined. So one time I asked Vishnujana Maharaj, who made me a devotee. I was there in Austin with Vishnujana Swami. I asked him a question. He said, why don't you ask Prabhupada? So I immediately wrote Prabhupada a letter. I jumped to that opportunity and asked him the question. And then plus I had written Prabhupada a letter with my Guru Dakshina and gotten a wonderful answer back. So I was really, you could say, addicted to having that access to Prabhupada. And then they said, now there's a new policy. From now on, only temple presidents, GBCs, and sannyasis can write letters to Prabhupada. Well, I was a bit of a rascal, I have to admit. I have really liked being able to directly communicate with Srila Prabhupada. And at the risk of getting in big trouble with the authorities of ISKCON, I wrote Prabhupada anyway. What can I do? I was addicted to having that contact with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada wrote me back. He said, actually, you should consult with your temple president, you know, instead of writing me. But then he said, but if there's any urgent matter, I'm always happy to hear from my beloved disciples. There was my loophole. Wow, I had a loophole from Prabhupada. If something's really urgent, I had Prabhupada's permission to write him. I was so happy Prabhupada gave me that loophole. Prabhupada was so kind. I mean, just think of it, you know. He's trying to translate the books. He's trying to manage. It's a huge burden of management. All these letters coming in. But he's so kind. He's given me the permission to keep writing him. Even though I wasn't a big leader, I was just some crazy brahmachari from Texas. He was giving me the permission to ride with him if I had an urgent need, because he was so kind, you see. This kindness of Prabhupada was so wonderful thing. So if we can take advantage of this wonderful mercy of Prabhupada, the wonderful mercy of Guru, the wonderful mercy of the devotees of Prabhupada. I travel all over the world, and whenever I can be, there's not that many God brothers around anymore. I'm traveling to ISKCON temples all over the world. It's mostly second generation out there in the ISKCON world nowadays. So now I have the opportunity to be with the God brothers. Like, wow, it's like being with, almost like being with Prabhupada. It's a very, very special thing to be with a God brother nowadays. Because there's really, so we're a dying breed, as it were, on this plane of existence. Every few days you hear about another Prabhupada disciple having departed for Goloka. I think that must be our biggest ISKCON center now in Goloka Vrindavan. Prabhupada said, well, they have another ISKCON there. I just can't imagine how great it'll be to actually go back there and be reunited with all the ISKCONians who are there in Goloka, engaged in their pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Just imagine what kind of greeting they'll give for the devotees when they come back. It's really amazing to think about it, you know. That's the wonderful thing about Krishna consciousness. We don't have to fear these Yamadutas. We have nothing to fear the Yamadutas. Because we spent our whole life engaged in serving Guru and Krishna. Prabhupada says that death means you simply go to sleep and you wake up with Krishna. Just imagine. Wow. You go to sleep and you wake up in Goloka Vrindavan. Mother Jasoda is packing Krishna's lunch. The cowherd boys are getting ready to head out for the forest, you know, for another day of adventure. And you get to be a part of it. I mean, wow. This is the great mercy of Srila Prabhupada. He's giving us this access to the pastimes of Krishna. This is real. This is not make-believe. This is the science of bhakti. It works. This is not a religious belief. This is science. This is real religion. Real religion means that system which empowers the practitioner to penetrate through the coverings of the universe and enter into the eternal pastimes of the Supreme Person. That is religion. That is real religion. This religion of, you know, give me this, give me that, give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, replete with Michelin tires, give my wife a new silk sari, give my kids a Harvard education, give me a house by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari. You see, that is not religion. That is not religion. I'm making fun of the Hindus, but the same thing we can do of the Christians, the Muslims, the Jews, everyone. Everyone is approaching God to fulfill their desires. That is the disease. You see? They call it religion, but it is not religion. It is irreligion in the name of religion, because actual religion means to become selfless, servant of God. To approach God to fulfill material desires, that is irreligion. In Bhagavatam, dharma krojada kaitava tora paramo nirmatsaranam sutam. The Bhagavatam immediately says, no, we kick out all such pseudo-religion. You see, in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is pure religion. This is real dharma. That I must simply become fully absorbed in the service of that supreme, all-powerful, all-beautiful, all-renounced, all-knowledgeable, all-wealthy, and all-famous Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So, it's been a wonderful visit here with you Prabhus and Matajis. I didn't get enough foot dust, but from you all, but still I got a lot of mercy from you all. I thank you for that. You're helping me to be connected with His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, my Savior. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes. And even with the mic, I may not be able to make it out, but we'll try.
Thank you very much for your association, Sathya Shantanu. Just one point to bring up here about the expertise of the pure devotee in engaging those who are not yet on the highest platform. Here we have the Yamadutas, who are obviously kind of low character. They appreciated the beauty and the strength of the Vishuddhas, that's why they didn't fight back and they answered the questions that they were asked. But at the same time, they're so low consciousness that they wanted to kill him. And here it's stated in today's verse, they wanted Yamaraj to kill him if possible. So just see how mixed up they are. They appreciate their beauty and they appreciate the strength of the Vishuddhas, but they're so low class they want to see them killed. So Prabhupada was the same way. He came to America and he took up the lowest of the low and put them, engaged them in the right service according to their mentality. So this is what the pure devotee does. Rather than just criticizing, it's not that the pure devotees don't see faults. Because sometimes devotees get confused about that also. Devotees don't see faults. No, they see the faults, but they know how to rectify them. They know how to do it gradually, step by step. So, but in our case, we shouldn't think that, oh, here's a nice devotee. They're doing something wrong, but I won't say anything because they're nice. You know, I like them in this way and that. No, if somebody's doing something wrong, if it's not your job to criticize, I mean, to correct them, then give it to the right person. But don't overlook him, because sometimes we fall into that trap also, which makes us complicit. If somebody's doing something wrong on the altar or the vagina or whatever, that's actually offensive to Krishna. But you think, oh, it's a nice person, I'm not going to say anything.
I'm missing most of it. Can somebody summarize? What did he? That's a summary of what he said so far. I can't make it out. So what is it?
He's saying that it's not that we don't see the mistakes and the faults in the devotee. A few devotees see, and if he is not able to correct them, then someone else. They should get someone else to correct them. So we should not.
Well, you have to see with the eyes of love. That's the point. One, out of compassion, one should see the faults of others, so that one can lovingly, compassionately help that person. It's a mood of service, not the mood of one-upmanship. That's the difference. We have a tendency to do a one-upmanship thing. But if one is actually mature, he will see that fault just like a doctor sees the disease of his patient and actually sincerely try to help that person. That's a mature devotee who does that. That's right. So that covered it? Okay. All right. Yeah, that's the other side of it. It's a very important, we understand both sides of it. Prabhupada said that we should be strict on ourselves and lean on others, but doesn't mean we shouldn't see, it's the duty of one who is, it's our duty to actually see the faults also. And another thing is, even if you're not in the position to be able to correct the faults of others, by having such a relationship of love and trust with that person, you should also be able to see those faults so you know what you should follow of what someone else is doing and what you should not follow. I have to distinguish between what you're doing correctly and incorrectly, because if I'm associating, this is an example, not you personally, but if I'm associating with a person, another devotee, I'm influenced by his association. So I have to see in him what he's doing right and what he's doing wrong, so I follow what he's doing right and make sure I don't follow what he's doing wrong. That's important. One has to know that. And that's why we're fortunate we have Srila Prabhupada's books. Why every one of us, actually, Prabhupada said, if all of my disciples, and that includes the grand disciples too, he says, all of my disciples must read all of my books or they'll fall down. So we really have to scrutinizingly study all of these books, especially the Nectar of Devotion, to know what is proper, you know, what is pravittim cha and the vrittim cha, to what is improper action, what is improper action. It's a very important distinction. It's a fact. So I appreciate you bringing that up. Anything else? Okay. So thank you very much to all the new Dwarkavasis. Keep up the great work here for Prabhupada's mission. The whole society is indebted to you for your wonderful service you're doing. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.